In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Trinity Sunday. The only day in the church year that we have been given devoted to a doctrine. It's the mystery of the Godhead. We all love a good mystery. That's why Law & Order, CSI are so popular. But there are some mysteries, no matter how hard we try, will remain a mystery. We worship one God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But how exactly they come together is a mystery. A myth about St. Augustine. He lived around 300 AD. One day he was pondering the Trinity, and he was walking along the Mediterranean Sea, along the beach, and he saw a boy playing on the beach. The boy was running back and forth from the beach to the water's edge. Augustine got closer. He realized the boy was carrying a bucket. And he was running up to the beach to a hole that he had dug. And he saw him filling up his bucket and pouring it, the water, into the hole that he had dug. And he kept repeating this over and over again. Curious, Augustine walked up to him and said, "What are you doing?" The boy said, "I'm trying to put the sea in my hole." Augustine said, "You can't do it. It won't fit." The boy said, according to legend, was an angel in disguise. And the boy said, "Neither can you put the mystery of the Trinity in your mind. It won't fit." The Athanasian Creed was written anonymously. It's just there in all of its glory, thoughtful, intense. This came about with great debate. What does this mean? God is one and three persons. Jesus and the Father are one. Jesus prays to the Father. The Son sends the Spirit from the Father, yet there is one God. Genesis introduces us to this mystery in creation. God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God, all present and active in creation. Genesis 1, we're told, "Let us make man in our own image." Nowhere is the mystery expressed so plainly and clearly than the baptismal mandate of our Lord. "Go, teach, and baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit." Not three names, but one name. Three persons, distinct, but not divided. Internally distinguished, externally undivided. So that where the Son is, there is the Father. There is the Holy Spirit. The mystery of God's triunity is most clearly taught in this baptismal mandate. In Jesus' baptism, we learn who the triune God is and what he does to save us. Just as the Trinity was fully present and active at baptism, at the baptism of Jesus, the Father's voice, the Son in the water, and the Holy Spirit, the dove. So the triune God is present and active in your baptism. In baptism, you are given the name of God. And to have his name is to have God as your God. To our ears, the Athanasian Creed is unnecessarily long, repetitive, overcooked. But this creed stands in the way and says, whoever wishes to be saved shall confess this Catholic faith. That's before the Roman Catholic faith. You see, we are reminded that this is the antiquity of our faith. This is old stuff. This is the new kid on the block, if you will. Not until the 5th century. The Nicene Creed is the late 4th century. And the Apostles' Creed in the 2nd century. You see, there is nothing new in Christianity. The only thing new are the newly baptized who hear the word and believe and confess with us. The faith is a tradition handed down from generation to generation, from one believer to another, handed down to us, making disciples by baptizing and teaching. There is one holy Catholic apostolic faith, which except everyone keeps whole and undefiled, and without doubt he will perish eternally. Today, we are reminded that Christianity is confessional. We confess. Christians stand up and confess with their mouths what the Spirit has implanted by the Word in their hearts. Christians of the past loved God and they loved their neighbor. So they hammered out these creeds and they confessed them. And people say today, Trinity is not in the Bible. Triune is not in the Bible. Sacrament is not in the Bible. Incarnation is not in the Bible. This is what the Jehovah's Witness tracts try to tell us. For that matter, the English Bible that we have in front of us is not in the Bible. It came to us from the Hebrew and the Greek and the Aramaic. What we do try to do is to say precisely what the Bible says in our creeds and confessions. So what's the point? Everything has to have a point. Everything has to have a life application, a lesson. As though Christianity were a school where you learn about God. The beautiful thing about today is there is no point. There is no application. There's no life lesson to be learned. All there is God as He revealed Himself to us. The one who created us, who redeemed us, who sanctified us, who works through the Word, who is the Word, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. If one thing is to be learned, is that God is not a means to some end, some self-improvement, betterment to society, whatever you dream up. God is the end. He's the beginning. And He's everything in between. The end of all things. The goal of your salvation. The reason the Son came to die and rise is that we might live in the life and love of God forever. Augustine was teaching his students, the students who were to be pastors. And he said to them, lest you become discouraged, know that when you love, you know more about who God is than you could ever know with your intellect. God reveals Himself in the love of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We confess this creed and we scratch our heads and we go, huh? And we walk out and we wonder. And we'll never ever be able to say, after confessing this creed, I got it. It's the mystery of God. It's not necessary to unravel the mystery of the triune God But it is necessary to know the love of God for you. We just heard Psalm 8. We chanted it. We heard it. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. This is the gift of grace, undeserved kindness, undeserved grace to be given, to know the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to confess them in the triunity, to worship the unity in the Trinity, in the Trinity, in the unity. It is not given to understand or to comprehend, but it is to confess and to believe. Luther taught never to mess with the hidden God. You won't find him, and he won't want to deal with you. Where do we look then? Where should we go? We should find him in the manger, in the cross, in baptism, in the Lord's Supper, in the voice of absolution, in the Word. Jesus alone, as the banner says. I'm not a mathematician. I'm not the son of a mathematician. In fact, math seemed to have passed me by. But this I know. 1 + 1 + 1 = 1. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.